Okay, why don't we go ahead and then and talk a little bit about the kingdom of heaven. Let's start out by, and the reason I would talk about this subject, by the way, is because of the confusion that exists about the kingdom of heaven and the body of Christ. Most preaching and teaching today don't seem to distinguish between the two. And so what I want to do is just talk a little bit about the kingdom of heaven, look at some verses, look at some things as it pertains to the kingdom of heaven, and to contrast it with the body of Christ and thereby make it clear that they're not the same. First, let's start out by looking at the fact that the kingdom of heaven is the subject of prophecy. And I would have you look at Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, Daniel is interpreting the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar has had a dream that deals with the kingdoms of the world, beginning with the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar down to the end times, as it were. And Daniel is, again, interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream. In verse 44, he says, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." So one of the first things that we want to recognize about the subject of the kingdom of heaven, that the kingdom of heaven, number one, is the subject of prophecy. And when we talk about prophecy, if you look with me at a verse in Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, verse 68. Well, we'll start with verse 67. "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began." As the subject of prophecy, prophecy has to do with that which God has made known since the world began. And God has made known from the beginning that he intends to set up a kingdom in the earth. That's the subject of prophecy. And that, as the subject of prophecy, look at Luke 16, 16. In Luke 16, 16, Luke writes here, he says, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached." Now, I just want you to focus on the point, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached." Considering the point that the kingdom of heaven is the subject of prophecy. And as such, prophecy The kingdom of heaven is a thing prophesied to come. In Daniel is prophesying about it to come, about something that is to be. At the time of the prophecy, at the time of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven had not yet been established in the earth, but was only prophesied as something to come. And you see that in Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets were until John, since that time the kingdom of God is preached. The law, according to Hebrews 10:1, was a shadow of things to come. And the prophets, in 1 Peter 1, I believe it is, prophesied of things.
Has anybody tried to speak at all? Maybe he's not aware that he's lost his sound. For instance, can you hear me? Okay, well then maybe my voice might get his attention. Art, we've lost sound here.
Okay, testing. How's that? Can anyone hear me? Okay. So what was the last thing you guys heard? Okay, boy, I guess I have to look up at my screen a little bit more regularly, because I had really gone. All right, if we're going back to that point, the point I was making at that stage was the fact that the kingdom of heaven is the subject of prophecy, and as such, it is a thing that is prophesied to come. We looked at Luke 16:16. I made reference to Luke 16:16 in that there we read, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. And the law, according to Hebrews 10, and I think I said this, but the law, according to Hebrews 10, was a shadow of things to come. And in 1 Peter, the prophets prophesied of things to come. So my point simply is this. The kingdom of heaven is the subject of prophecy. Now God has in his word the subject of the mystery. And the mystery is that which was kept secret since the world began. And those are your two most important divisions found in the Word of God, between prophecy and the mystery. The kingdom of heaven is not the subject of the mystery, but rather the subject of prophecy. The kingdom of heaven is the subject of that which God has made known since the world began, and is not the subject of the mystery, because the mystery concerns itself with that which God has kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And welcome back, Greg. Grace of Five Saints, John 19:44. Now, I'm going to just do something here, just kind of brief, just to make, you know, just kind of not make this a total loss for us tonight, talking about the kingdom of heaven. That one of the things we were trying to get across, that number one is the subject of prophecy, and is to be seen in contrast with the mystery, that which God has made known from the beginning of the world, with that which God has kept secret since the world began, to emphasize the fact that they're not the same thing. So when we talk about the kingdom of heaven and we talk about the body of Christ, we're not talking about the same thing. We're talking about entirely two different subject matters. The kingdom of heaven is not the body of Christ. And that must be understood. Secondly, it is called the kingdom of heaven because it's a kingdom that has its origin in the heaven that is to be established on the earth. Another point about the kingdom of heaven to be taken note of is that the kingdom of heaven is a literal, physical, visible kingdom, again, that is to be established in the earth. The body of Christ is a spiritual entity and is not does not conform to that of a kingdom. Okay, we're called the body of Christ, number, and it is a spiritual entity and is the subject of the mystery. Okay, now we also wanted to make the point that this kingdom of heaven that is prophesied to come, a literal, physical, visible kingdom, as Daniel 2:44 says, is not to be left to other people. And the point there, if you look at Daniel 7:27, you learn that this kingdom of heaven is to be given to the nation of Israel. Daniel 7:27 says, "And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him." This kingdom of heaven that is going to be established in the earth is going to be above the kingdoms of the world. As Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 makes abundantly clear, God is going to establish his kingdom in the top of the mountains, and all nations shall flow unto it. Okay? All nations shall flow unto it. This kingdom is to be given to Israel. Israel shall be the head and not the tail. There's a passage, if I can remember rather quickly here, in Isaiah chapter 's the passage where it talks about Israel shall be the priest, Isaiah 61, beginning at verse 4. "And they shall build the old waste." In fact, let's start at verse 1. Isaiah 61, verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Now notice in verse 4, "And they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers." One of the most important things to learn about the kingdom of heaven, that number one is the kingdom given to Israel, that in this kingdom there is not an equality between Jews and Gentiles. The Jews are the head, and the Gentiles are the tail. If you notice again, verse 5, and by the way, the subject of being born again does not do away with the one's ethnic identity. you're still a Jew or you're still a Gentile under the kingdom program. In other words, there's a division, there's a distinction being made between Jews and Gentiles, even in the kingdom. There is not an equality. This is another strong point of distinguishing the kingdom of heaven from the body of Christ. Because in the body of Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ. But going on in verse 6, in Isaiah 6:1, he says, "But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves." And that's the point. The kingdom of heaven is being given to Israel. And Israel, God is going to reign over the kingdoms of the world, over the kingdoms of the earth, through the instrumentality of the nation of Israel. This kingdom of heaven will be to the nation of Israel. This is a kingdom that was prophesied to come. This is a kingdom that the Lord taught the disciples to pray for in the infamous Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. This is that kingdom. And again, it's a kingdom that will be given to Israel. It will be to the nation of Israel. Remember the apostles asked a question in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Again, Daniel 2:44 says, this kingdom will not be left to other people, but it will be given to the saints of the Most High God, and referring to the nation of Israel, not to the church, which is the body of Christ. The church, the body of Christ, has no part in the kingdom of heaven that is to be established in the earth. This kingdom is the theme of John the Baptist's preaching, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2. It's the theme of the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. And it is the theme of the preaching of the 12 apostles, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7. However, the kingdom of heaven is not the theme of the Apostle Paul's preaching. Romans 16:25, the theme of Paul's preaching, and if you look at Ephesians chapter 3, the theme of Paul's preaching is the mystery of Christ, or another way to say that, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That's the theme of Paul's preaching. And that is the theme of the preaching today in the dispensation of the grace of God, not the kingdom of heaven. The Sermon on the Mount is the constitution or the Magna Carta of the kingdom of heaven. And there's a lot of things in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8 that maybe next week we'll take the time to go through and examine those things about the kingdom of heaven. You know, how do you get into the kingdom of heaven? And we'll see why the issue of being born again and how the law and all those things factor into the program of the kingdom of heaven, but do not figure in with the mystery of Christ, or does not relate to the church, which is the body of Christ.